Let's do the armor song, because Pastor Sue's going to bring her armor lesson, and I'm supposed to do it so we all learn it and remember it, and so I don't forget it. So, the armor of God. Okay. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we gotta put on the whole armor of God. Let's sing it again. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we gotta put on the whole armor of God. Well, first you gotta have a core of truth, cause you don't want lies being born in you. Know who God made you to be. With that comes freedom, joy, and peace. Draw back in peace. And put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we gotta put on the whole armor of God. Well, next we put on righteousness. It protects the front and back of the chest. I'm not good, but you see, it's all about what Jesus did for me. When he died, he took my sin. Now when you look at me, you see him. I'm not fighting you, you're not fighting me. We're warring against principalities. There's two sides and we gotta choose whose weapons we're gonna use. Satan uses anger, hate, and more. But those aren't the weapons of my Lord. His are quite the opposite. Mercy, love, and forgiveness. Choose to forgive. And put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we gotta put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we gotta put on the whole armor of God. That's a choice too, you know, like praise, put on the garment of praise. We have to choose to put on the armor. And there's so many pieces. You know, we have to choose. It's not like, quick, throw this armor on, all right, let's go. You know, there's like preparation and time of actually, you have to understand your armor. That's one thing I think we've been learning is like understanding the pieces and what that means to put it on. But you have to understand it, and you have to understand how your weapons work. You have to understand how to move in that armor, how to swing that sword, how to do these things. So it's time consuming. It takes effort. But if we're soldiers and we are called to be soldiers, then we have to take that time. We have to take that effort to understand each piece and to really own it so that we can wear it and walk in God's peace and walk confidently that we are in the armor, that we are in the right path, and that we're fighting the enemy with the weapon that is actually going to be effective. You know, because you could run against and try and come at him with a certain verse, but that's not the spirit we're dealing with. So we are not fighting that enemy effectively. So we really need to be that. I mean, that peace is really, really major, because when we're in the peace of God, and there's a verse that says, let the peace of God rule or reign, you know, in your heart. And when we are letting that peace rule, it's like the wisdom follows, and we just have the wisdom of how do we step here? What's the right way to, what's the right weapon? And so that's really, like, I'm getting so much out of this weapon stuff and the verses and, you know, God giving me this song is, like, really cool, because for me it gives, like, a fun little tune to just even sing while I'm putting makeup on or something in the morning, that I've got that in my head, that I'm making the choice to want to be in his armor, to want to be clothed in him, in Jesus, and in his, with his weapons, because he is, like, an opposite kingdom. You know, he comes in the opposite of the way the devil works. It really is opposite. Where the anger, where anger from the devil, the softness and gentleness from Jesus, you know? And it's the things that logically in our flesh we wouldn't think would work. They don't make sense to our flesh, but it doesn't have to, because in our spirit, it's right, you know?
We're going to change our order a little bit this morning. As we've been learning about the armor of God, we're not going to learn a new piece today. I'm not going to finish the last piece we were working on. I feel like God wants me to experience the practice of walking in that a little bit longer. Today we're going to be talking about why we need to get that armor on, what kind of things are coming, what's happening in the spirit realm. And God reveals things to us in a certain sense of timing and order. And our worship leader, Pastor Nate, had a dream last week, and I feel that the timing of that dream is very important, that we need to hear that dream, receive that dream, and realize that that is part of this teaching on the armor and why it's so important and serious that we do get prepared for things that are coming. So I want to invite Nate first to share his dream, and then we'll talk about it a little bit.
So before we start, I just want to come in unity. Lord Jesus, we ask that you wipe out everything that we think we know, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would come. Actually, we give you permission, Lord, to just take over our minds as we hear the word, the dream, Lord. And then, Lord Jesus, second of all, we ask that you would protect that. Amen. Amen. So this week I had a dream. So picture yourself looking west, which would be behind you. Okay? So you're out in a big parking lot. And the parking lot was full as far as you could see with people. And God began to move. And what God did was he had angels that were there watching over the crowd, and people began to experience God's presence. And then he gave his angels commands to go to each person with whatever they needed. And we're talking about things like whatever you need, healing, repentance. I was going to kind of... Okay, so whatever you needed, God already knew. And the people that were there were obviously in tune with God. They were in line. They were in submission to what God wanted to do. And so he would send his angels to each person. So, for example, if you had sin, he would send an angel to you, and God would deal with you at that very moment. They would speak it to you. Right. The minister, the guy would give them a word, and then the angel would come and actually take it as it left their lips. And the angel would take it to that person. Yep. Yep. You can help me if you want. Seriously. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the minister was calling people out by name. And then he would speak whatever it was. The angel would come and take it. And he would take it to that person. And so I just wanted to slightly touch on it. I mean, this was everything from healing to sin to repentance to... everything and everyone in our lives. So, and in that environment, the presence of God was so, I just think of that word glory, but it was so incredibly serious, like nothing we've ever experienced before. Like you could not think of anything else. You could not escape it. You could not, look at your watch. Oh, it's noon, you know. It completely arrested everything about you. And I just wanted to make that a point. It was nothing that we have ever experienced. I know that kind of sounds simple, but it's not. I mean, this place was so much of God. And then the next thing I would like to say is that in that environment, there was no exploiting what God was doing. There was no exploiting, we got to have another service, or is this going to be on TV, or all these things that we are really seriously used to seeing when there's a move of God, you know, God TV comes in and all this stuff. And it was so God that no one could touch it. No one could exploit it. No one could make plans for the future. No one could do any of that stuff. And this is what's coming. And so in the midst of all of that, one person, which I believe, yeah, the one person, while God was moving, one person stood up and prophetically started to warn the people. And he didn't even get his sentence out. And I saw three tornadoes heading toward the people. And they would be from the west, from the north, and from the south. And behind us was a huge building. And the people began to run in the building. And so I remember, but here I need to back up. In the midst of all this happening, this is the important part, is that all of a sudden tragedy struck. And there was little warning. There was little warning. I mean, the prophet that started to give the warning didn't even get his sentence out. So I just hope that sinks in. So everyone ran inside the building. I remember the tornadoes coming, and they hit the building. They hit the building, but we were not harmed. And then I woke up.
Right. I spent almost an hour and a half on the phone with Nate right after he had that dream, soon after, as he shared it, and he was just so caught up in the spirit. And I know he repeated some things over and over, but that's because he was so impacted. Like he kept saying, "It's so serious. It's just so serious." And he couldn't get over the seriousness. And even that he felt that it changed something in him, even physically, even experiencing this in a dream. So it was a major impact on a prophet, on our worship leader, at a particular time in the midst of our teaching on the armor. And I feel that's extremely important, the timing of when it came. And I believe that part of that reason is to reassure us of the importance of getting on that armor and being ready. I'm going to share some scriptures, and we're going to look at a warning in the Bible, because I want us to realize that before God does anything, He does tell His prophets.
When Sue, I want to kind of go back over what the dream that Nate had, because I want to tell you how it hit me, okay? Sue spent time with Nate, and then Nate telling her this, and then Sue told me, and it came off like this. There's a parking lot full of people. Okay? There's a parking lot full of people, and God shows up, and He's moving, and it's like, I've had a taste of what I got out of what she was saying, that God was moving, and it wasn't like anybody was doing anything. It's not like anybody was doing a service. It's like God just showed up, and it was like suddenly we're in the presence of God, but it is so manifest, and then God began to personalize it by having someone, a leader, whoever, and they would speak names like John. And when they would speak John, an angel would go to John and begin to deal with John about whatever was in John. And whether it was like if he needed to be healed, boom, he got healed. If it was about equipping, he was equipped. It was about sin. God was dealing with him. And like the person knew it, and boom, it was like ministry was happening with each person.
Nate did mention that the people may not even know what they needed.
And that the people didn't even know. But when their name was spoken, it became God knew, and God began to do that work in them. While this is going on, a certain prophet goes to stand up to warn because of what God was telling him. And when he even went to try to warn, he couldn't even hardly get words out. And all of a sudden, three tornadoes appeared and tragedy began to happen. People began to die. People were hurt. And a whole lot of the people ran into the building. And the people that got in the building were protected. But the building, when the tornadoes hit, because there was three tornadoes, it like demolished the building, tore the roof off and stuff. But one thing that I didn't hear him say that I wanted you to get is this, that impacted me when I heard it. Those of us that were in the building were so aware of the peace of God, and at the same time, the death, the tragedy, the destruction that was happening to people that weren't coming in the building.
And Nate said, I felt like I should be saying, I'm so glad I'm safe. But his heart was so full of God that he was feeling grief over those who were not safe.
And that is what we're talking about, is that's what I've been feeling for a long time, is I'm thankful for everybody that comes. I'm thankful for everybody that we get to reach. But I see God wants more for each person. And then those that come but don't keep coming, or those that come and don't want what God is saying or doing. And it's like I'm so aware of what is coming and that it's not good. And when we think of God coming, we're like looking for, so many people are looking for, oh, let's all dance and let's jump around and let's all fall on the ground and let's all feel good and God heals everybody and isn't this wonderful? You know, God is very serious, and God is about choices, and God is about life, and God is about death. And that's what I'm aware of. And I'm not a doom and gloom person. I'm a very positive person. But I'm very aware of the seriousness of our choices. I'm very aware. And that's what I was drawn attention to in this dream. And it's like when she was telling me about it, I couldn't quit thinking about it because it was kind of like a picture of what God has already told me, been telling me for years, to get people prepared. That's why this is a training center for soldiers. That's why everybody doesn't stay. Okay? Because it's soldier equipping. Do you understand? And I'm not saying that because somebody leaves, they're doing something wrong. I'm saying this is a soldier equipping station, and it's to get you trained. And God wants all of us. You see, there's so many people out there. I'm just standing here and I'm seeing cars just driving and people just acting like everything's the same. And it's not going to keep being just everything the same. And God wants us to have His heart. His heart is for those people. That's why Nate said, while we were in the building, we're thankful that we're safe, but it was like our heart was so full of God that we were grieved about what was going on with the people outside the building. And that's what I'm saying. I'm so thankful I'm saved. I've been thankful all these years, but I'm so aware. And that's what I would challenge you, is to ask God, God, give me your heart. Help me to see other people through your eyes. Help me to have your heart for them so that I would be willing to witness to them, willing to love them, willing to go beyond where my flesh wants to go when they frustrate me, anger me, they're rude, they all the things that people do, they act nonchalant, you know, act like they're careless. But God, help that not to stop you from loving them through me to love them to Him. You understand what I'm saying? It's like rescue the perishing, care for the dying. You understand? God, give me your heart so I can see them like you do.
And Mark 1:2 says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. When God is going to do something, he sends a messenger. He sends someone to let the people know that God's getting ready to do something. In John 16:3, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. God wants us, 16:13. And then in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. When God is getting ready to do something, he reveals those secrets to his prophets. We have had prophecies here for as long as this church has existed through all the different buildings and locations. And we have heard some prophecies. We have heard that God is going to be using children in this end time move. That young ones are going to be preaching, prophesying, worshiping. They're going to be ministers at very young, early ages. We've heard that for years. We have heard that there's going to be devastations that are going to come in two forms. One, as God increases his presence and his power here, so does the enemy in attacking God's people. The war is heating up on both sides. So the enemy is going to be increasing, taking prayer out of school, just, you know, beginning to persecute Christians again, even in America, calling it a hate crime if you preach against sin. The persecution is going to get more and more and more intense against Christians. But another thing happens when the presence of God increases. The judgments of God also increase. If you can imagine, God is trying to protect his holy heaven and everything being right and pure and good. And in that, he cannot allow sin and evil to enter into that place. You can imagine that you have a child who turns bad. I mean, he just goes wicked, gives himself to the devil, starts murdering people. You're the mom of the axe murderer. And he's just going around killing everybody, violent and horrible. And you're the one with the power to do something about it. And you have to put him in jail. You have to arrest him. You have to put him in prison. Maybe you even have to send him to the gas chamber so that he won't hurt anyone else. And yet he's your son and you love him. God's love never ends, but his judgments are righteous. And without repentance, the punishment of sin will come on those who do not come under the blood of Christ that pays for that sin. All sin will be paid for, either by the blood of Christ or we end up paying for it. So as God's presence increases, so does the judgment. It is dangerous. Our God is a consuming fire. It is dangerous to stand in the place of the presence that Nate has described without also standing in the very fire of the judgment of God. And that's why first in Nate's dream, first, those who came to him, he called out their name. He made it personal. I love that we called out names last week. God was making it personal. And again, it was a prophetic statement. When God said, ministers, call out names and release the Holy Spirit to go and work in those people. That was a little outpouring of what is going to be a big outpouring as we as his ministers are ready to stand and allow the Holy Spirit to be released as we call a name. And just like that, the Spirit of God does what is needed for those who are coming and seeking him.
Right.
Now that was the thousands there coming and seeking him. God first, for those who wanted him, was preparing them for their safety. He had already prepared a place, a humongous. Nate said there were thousands of people, and this place held them. So he had prepared a safe haven for the people who had come to him. God wants to prepare a way. When he sent Christ to this earth, it was to prepare a way, right, to rescue us,
right,
from the judgment day that is coming against Satan and his followers. So he always prepares that safe place. In the days of Noah, he prepared the ark, which was preached for 120 years of warning, prophesying, telling them what was coming. And the people said, well, it ain't ever rained before. Moses, Noah's crazy. There's no rain. The longer he told them, the less they heard because they didn't see it. It takes faith to believe what the prophets bring when they tell us what's coming. In Proverbs 27:1, it says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's coming tomorrow, but we know what's coming sometime. We don't know exactly when, but we do know that there's an urgency. There's a pressure on us right now that those words are closer. The day of the Lord is drawing nigh, and we have to get more serious. Do you know back in the book of Joel, and we're going to go there in a minute, Joel was prophesying about end days. He spoke of the darkness coming. He spoke of these things. And it was the judgment of God. And he said, the day of the Lord is at hand. He said, it's close. Well, that was thousands of years ago. And it didn't happen. So some people go, oh, I don't know. You know, it's been thousands of years. Nothing happened. But now God is bringing up that same message, bringing the dreams, the visions, the prophecies of that message again to us, because the day is closer than it was then. And I think it's closer than we even realize. So let's go look at Joel for a minute. Joel chapter 2. We like to read some of the verses out of chapter 2, but we don't like to read all of them. We like to skip over near the end and say, God's going to pour out his spirit, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will dream dreams and see visions, even upon handmaidens, and I'm going to pour out my spirit, and there will be wonders. We like to read that, but we need to read what else goes on in that same time period. So we look at Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes and is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There has not ever been any like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A great and strong people. There's two armies of great and strong people. There's God's army and there's the devil's army. Both are increasing in strength. Now, we know God is bigger and God is going to win. But he wins through us. He wins through us as we put on that armor, as we learn how to live and walk, being clothed in Christ and releasing Christ through us. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. So I wanted you to get a feeling for those kind of things, the darkness that comes. Nate mentioned everything suddenly went dark in his vision. Darkness had filled the land. And then the tornadoes came. By the way, I saw three tornadoes. Three, and three is what he saw. It was when we were down in Florida, it was probably 10, 12, 15 years ago. I didn't dig up the journal. But I saw three tornadoes coming. I never fully understood what it meant. But when he said three, that vision jumped right back into me that I had seen three. And today, now this weather report is a little bit mixed up, which is always true with weathermen and their reports. Yesterday, I saw a notice on Facebook that today there were warnings of a severe weather storm coming in, possibly containing a few tornadoes for this area. So this morning I read a report that said the storm is coming and there is moderate chance of a tornado. Nate seemed to hear something that said it could be the most severe warning of a tornado for this area. So we have three different reports. All of them contain tornado warnings. I think that's even of God to give us that warning that tornadoes are coming at the same time as he delivers this dream. That is not a coincidence. Yeah. Right. Well, Nate all week, he wouldn't share it. You haven't read that. Yeah. Exactly. He had not read this in Joel, so his spirit's getting all excited as he sees the confirmation of the dream that he saw. It bears witness. So there's all these things that are going to be coming. And then I love verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. You know who that army is? It's only those of us that have armor on. Because you see, many are called, but few are chosen. A lot of you have been, what do we call that? When you go to war and you don't want to go, you know, you get drafted. You've been drafted into God's army. But some of you won't make it through boot camp. Some won't make it through boot camp because they don't take the training seriously. My son went into the reserves, Army Reserves, as a jokester. He went in there sarcastic, joking, till he found out that drill sergeant, every time he made a joke, brought punishment on him. He increased his push-ups or run or whatever. He slimmed him down. He firmed him up. He could run 4 straight miles, and he came home meaner than a rattlesnake. He had no humor left in him. That's how the world trains an army. He came out a fighting machine looking for a fight. Ready, you know, kill, 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 show no mercy. I hated it. Praise God, he delivered him from that attitude. But God's army, our boot camp, is to learn how to wear the armor of God, to learn how to be clothed in Christ, learn how to release Christ, who's the only powerful one that can stand against the enemy. It's a spiritual war. We have to take this training time so seriously. I loved it every time Nate said, but it's so serious. This is so serious. The time that we're in is so serious. And this training is so serious. And God will utter his voice to his army. I want to be in that army. I want to be on his side. You know what is so awesome about it? That weapon of our war, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I love that. He's not training killing machines. He's not training us to kill. He's training us to give life. He's not training us in anger. He's training us in gentleness and meekness and peace and love, which the enemy in the spirit realm can't stand or stand against. So as we're getting trained for war, we are gentling down. We're moving into peace. We're increasing in love and mercy and forgiveness. We're increasing in allowing Christ to flow through us. And in all that he is flowing through us is good. It's good. Totally opposite of the army of the devil and of this world. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. If we didn't read anything else, I'm in for that. I like to hear his voice. For his camp is very great. The thousands you saw, Nate, and more. That was only here. Nate did feel that his dream was for burning bush. So that was here. For he is strong that executes his word. Execute his word. He speaks it, and then he releases it to happen. Just say a name. And he takes it and makes it happen. I'm still in verse 11. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? It is awesome. It's awesome in power. It's awesome in mercy and love, transformation. But it's also terrifying in the judgments. Terrifying. I believe Nate used that word on the phone. He said, even though I was safe, I was terrified. It was scary. Can't hold it.
I just feel like you need to bring up. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave behind a blessing with him? The Lord says, turn to me with all your heart. Make a heart decision. I am turning to God. I want him to be my whole life. He needs to be all that we live for, everything, our focus, our purpose, our motive in everything. With fasting, we just learned here, some of us, that fasting is not always food. Fasting is staying away from something that you normally intake. We just fasted from taking in any other worship except worship from here. We fasted from taking in preaching from anywhere but here. The reason we did it was that we might turn our hearts into what God is doing, come into unity here of what he's doing at Burning Bush, so we can come together and let him form this army here. Now, I ended the fast, I should say God, because he told me, I could end the mandatory fast yesterday. No longer are we requiring our ministers to do that. I'm strongly suggesting that you do that to whatever extent you can do with the peace of God. I believe that there may be individual, personal things that God is doing in you now. For instance, if you're dealing with pride, and you're kind of hung up on that thing of pride, and God wants to input other scriptures, other things about pride, and he's taking you into that, then between you and him, you know you need to intake that for your own personal growth. If you have other worship that he's doing something in you through that, and you feel the peace of God, what I'm doing is asking you to pray. Just don't go feed it in another trough, but pray. God, is there something in me that you want me to take in that's different? But my focus needs to stay what you're doing here at Burning Bush. If you want to be on this team, we need you to keep feeding on this too. So don't just go, okay, I don't have to study that armor thing anymore. No, you do. You do. But there's some liberty here now that it's your free will choice. It's not mandatory anymore to be on the leadership. The store is going to be playing some Christmas music now, but it will be all Christian Christmas music. But believe me, if you work in this store 9 hours a day, you have been baptized in this worship. You have been drowned in this worship. So you have definitely a good infiltration of it inside of you, because it played all day, every day here. Verse 15 again says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. That's serious. Call the assembly to get serious about this. Blow the trumpet. Warn the people. Warn the people. And God is telling us to blow that trumpet of warning now. Gather the people, verse 16. Sanctify the congregation. We're trying to gather people, but the more serious it gets, the more people leave. But I looked around this morning and I said, you know, we don't just have casual visitors here. We have our people here today. And when things get serious, it will weed out casual visitors because it's kind of too hot and heavy for them. Sanctify the congregation. Set these people apart from what anybody else is doing and prepare them. Assemble the elders. Call your leadership together. And gather the children. Oh my gosh, how many prophecies have we had that children are going to be ministers in this coming move of God? Gather the children. I'm going to come back to that in a minute because that's huge. But I don't want to sidetrack on it right now. Gather those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. He's calling everyone, even the new married couples, come out of that honeymoon and get in on this. Don't, even the little babies, look what he's doing here. We got the little nursing babies staying in the service with us. We got the children in here with us. There's a reason God has had us bring everyone together to hear this. Not only the old people. 17. Yeah, that's us. Temporarily. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar and let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Don't give your heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You're a minister of the Lord. God's calling you into some weeping time. Weeping intercession. Weeping intercession for those who are outside of God right now. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Look down in 21. Though he tells us these devastating, horrendous things are coming, he says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. In the midst of it, he's going to do such great things. 23, be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. We walked out of here last night into rain again. I am so tired of it physically raining. And Nate, of course, had to do his little let it rain, you know. And I'm like, oh, he's got to quit singing that. Every time he sings it, it starts raining out there in the real world, you know. But that, too, is a prophetic sign. There is a latter-day rain, and that rain isn't water. That rain is spirit. It's spirit. We need a thunder shower of an outpouring of God raining down on us. We've seen it before. That was the former rains. He said, you're going to get that again. And the latter rains, a new rain, a different rain. Outpouring of God. If that drizzly mess outside is a prophetic indication of how much God's going to rain down, then let it rain. 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward. That's not the word we like to read when we use this verse right here. Afterward. Something has to happen first for an afterward to happen. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. These are the people that are seeking God, calling out to God. These things are coming. I want to share something else God gave me this morning. I want to give you something else God gave me this morning. When I got up this morning, I didn't have anything yet. So I said, well, God, I truly did experience putting on the armor of peace, the gospel of the preparation of peace. And I took that very seriously last week. I would get up in the morning and say, everywhere I walk today, I need to put on a preparation to release the peace of God. I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be proud. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be discouraged, depressed. I want to walk in the peace of God. Let my shoes be shod in the presence of your peace. And I practiced that somewhat last week, and I enjoyed that. But I still didn't feel like I owned that. So when I got up this morning, I said, God, I don't think I can go on with it until you give me more revelation. And he said, what I want you to do, because this whole armor of God in Ephesians 6 starts in verse 11. What was going on before verse 11. Take a look. So I did. And you know how it starts? Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. Honor your mother and father. Fathers, provoke not your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It started with children. And God reminded me about our children and what he's doing. You might say he's doing nothing. We don't have any teachers. And that's how I saw it for a while. But in the last week, God had stirred me up with a revelation that the reason we have four or five helpers and no teachers is because the children are to become the teachers. God is training our little ministers. He wants you parents to raise up those children and nurture them in the Lord. That doesn't mean just tell them a nice little storybook tale. It means teach them how to walk with Christ. Teach them how to live Scripture. Teach them how to eat the Word, chew it up and digest it, practice living it in their own little lives, and owning the Word. It means to discipline them with purpose, not anger. But it doesn't mean to spoil them either. They need discipline. Admonition is the discipline with purpose. If we will do that in our homes and do that here, the children will be the teachers of their own class because he's training them to be ministers. I know, I don't know too many people that have this age of child, but if your child is old enough to talk, then I challenge you to begin doing that at home. Take their training seriously. If your child is 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, begin encouraging them to become a minister, to surrender their life, to hunger for the presence of God, and to prepare to step into ministry as a servant of God. We're going to see that happening. We're going to see that happening here. If we tell them you're a child and all you're capable of is go play, then that's what they'll grow up with. I should just be playing. And they will miss out on getting to be one of the children in this move of God. It wasn't only to children, it was to the parents, but it was to servants to be obedient to their masters. If God has put you under a master, which we don't have slaves in America, we have bosses that pay us money to get to be our master. So we basically, they buy the right to be your master. And he said, obey them. That's not easy in our independent society, but there is training for God's army in being submissive and obedient to whatever authority he has put over you, as unto the Lord. I mean, if they tell you to sin, you don't obey them. But short of telling you to sin, you know, we used to take this in our church when we were young marrieds, because the preacher would say, wife, submit to your husbands and obey them. And I'd think, you've got to be kidding. He said, unless they tell you to sin, you have to do what they ask you to do. And I was like, paint my room black? Yep. I don't want my room black. Drive an orange car? Because that's what he'd want. He wanted a purple one with an orange stripe. And I'm like, give him his way about that? Yep. But you know what? Submission is powerful. Because when you submit to someone, as unto the Lord, and you pray, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, you are seeing that when you're under the oppression of a master, God can turn the heart of that master. And you are seeing the reality of God, the power of God to change things. Or perhaps you're seeing the patient endurance of the Lord to suffer through something that will build his character in you. So it's for your own good. Whatever he is allowing you to go through in this life is for your own good, training you to release the presence of Christ and bring you into your own transformation. And then he tells masters, God made you a boss over somebody else? Is he giving you authority over someone? You have authority over your children. Husbands have authority over your wives. Bosses, you have authority over your workers. And he warns you. He warns you not to threaten them. He warns you that you better treat them well. And it culminates in verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he goes into our armor. I just wanted to do a review today to see the prophecies of things coming, to see the seriousness, why we need to be prepared, to realize that we're in a time fasting from the things of this earth, to feed on what God is doing, and to hunger to have Christ as our clothing, to have him totally fill us up and live through us, whatever that takes, whatever it means, to get that serious, to be prepared, and ask God to do that in us and yield to the doing of it in us. So I hope that encouraged you.
I want to challenge you to look at Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 13 in a general overview of the light I have of what's going to happen. God is going to allow some devastation, some bad things to happen. It's going to get people's attention. God's going to pour out his spirit. It's just basic, you know, may not be exactly right, but you'll get an idea. God's going to pour out his spirit. But see, like right now, when God pours out his spirit, people that aren't even saved, just like, oh, isn't this fun? Oh, isn't this wonderful? And they don't realize that they're a breath from eternity. And that means an eternity without Christ if they're not saved. And people won't deal with things. So God's going to allow some hard things. Then God's going to pour out his spirit. And people are going to be listening. When 9/11 hit, God told me to watch what was going on. And all these people around America ran to God. If you'll remember, they put on their, they talked about God. God bless America. We're all united. And they started filling churches. In 3 months, it subsided and churches swelled up and they went back down. Because people weren't after God. They weren't after God. They were after protection. They were scared. But they weren't really making decisions for God. And God said to me, what you just saw, 9/11? I don't know if you remember 9/11. I remember. It was big time. It caught everybody's attention. God said, this is just a taste of what's coming. I said to him years ago, God, why don't you send me to some other country, like Africa or somewhere? I'm tired of dealing with Americans. You've given me a message and they want to just take it. It's all fluff. It's all, oh, I don't want to hear that stuff. I just want what's nice and comfortable. I said, send me to some country where they want to hear. And when 9/11 hit, here's what he told me. He said, Harvey, the message I gave you, he said, when I bring what's coming, he says, I'm going to make the people hungry. See, right now, people aren't hungry. They're full of their little electronic devices everywhere you go. We're just playing our games, and we're just doing all of our little texting, our little Facebook, and we're having fun. And we're just watching TV, and we're distracted, and we're caught up in me. Yeah, all God's got to do is just have power go out. Now you got a bunch of whining babies, selfish. Tell me, this is what I'm saying. This is so serious. This is what's been in me for years. That's why I'm so serious all the time. Okay? I care. I know what's coming. I've already had this vision before Nate had it. So basically, some bad things are going to happen. God's going to get people's attention, make them hungry. Then he's going to pour out his spirit. It's like one last ditch effort to bring people in. That's why we got to be ready. Because who's he going to work through to bring them in? They're not going to get saved by praying a little prayer and join a little glee club and we all just... It's not that. It's repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus. It's dealing with our sin and getting honest about it and seeing Jesus on the cross and not taking it lightly. And then, you know what's going to happen? Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 13. Because you say, in the end, we win. But not when you read the book of Revelation. We're going to be killed as believers. We're going to be killed. The world is going to be anti-Christ. God is going to allow it to happen. And if you don't take His mark in your hand or your forehead, you're going to be killed. If you don't worship the beast, you're going to be killed. And when it looks like all hope is gone, the devil's winning, then God's going to step out, wipe out all the bad guys, basically their army, put the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Jesus is going to reign on earth with a rod of iron. That means people are going to have to obey whether they want to or not. Even the people on earth that are not saved are going to have to obey. The people that are going to be born that don't get saved are still going to have to obey. And then after the 1,000 years, God's going to release the devil for a period of time. And those that are really following Him, that never really submitted from their heart, just submitted because they had to, because of the rod of iron, they're going to manifest. And then God's going to say, okay, everybody, out of the pool. All of you, don't know Me? I'm going to put you with a boogeyman. I'm going to chain you to the bottomless pit. And that's it. See, I am very aware of the reality. I'm not dooming and glooming. I'm telling you fact. Unless the Bible's a lie. And if so, throw it away and go live what you want. Live for today, because tomorrow you die. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm telling you that the majority of people out there are on their way to hell. And it breaks my heart. I can't even look at people without seeing them as an eternal soul going to live somewhere. I am so gripped by it. It's like, why do you think I got to keep talking to everybody about Jesus? It's not just because I'm a fanatic. It's because I know down inside they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And I care. I care about each person. And yet I have to keep backing up and allowing you to make decisions that sometimes I wish you didn't make. Because it hurts me when you make decisions that are hurting you in your life. I care about you. We need to have God's heart to care for people. Because this is what's really coming. It's serious. When she was telling me what Nate told her, he just kept going, "It's so serious! It's so serious!" Everything she was saying was just jumping in me. Just, it was like, this is what God's been telling me all these years. And it's, do you know what it's like when you feel like you're talking and nobody in the world's listening to you? But it's like what God told you? Can you imagine what it was like to be Noah? And you're trying to tell them. I mean, you're spending your whole life building this big old boat out in the middle of a desert. And they're going, "You must be a mess. You must be stupid." And He's telling them, "You got to get on the boat. Water's coming." And they didn't. And all but 8 people in the whole world died. Every single person died. When it started raining, which they had never seen before, all of a sudden they wanted to get on the boat. It was too late. You understand? This isn't about, I do what I want, I go where it's comfortable, I get to do all this. Yeah, God gives you a free will, but you're going to reap those choices of your free will. Please, ask God, help me to see the truth through Your eyes. I want to be right on the cutting edge of what You're doing, God. Not just what You allow me to do. I want to be right where you could live your life through me to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, to love them to Jesus when they're not lovable, loving, or lovely. When they're hateful and mean and selfish and want anything but Christ. Help me to love them to Jesus with your heart, even when they don't come to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? I wish I could just preach some nice little fluffy message like others get to do, but he won't let me do that. I'm saying, I'm not trying. I don't want to just bring all this. But I want to bring you truth. I love you. And I care about you. You understand that? You know that? Okay?